introduced your panel, and you should know who your panel is. To my right is Justice Ann Gardner. To my left is Justice Sue Walker. I'm Leanne Dofino. We'll hear your case, then we'll hear the third case, which is Brennan. Is it Cedeno or Cedeno? Cedeno. And then we'll recess before the 10:30 docket, and we'll call the 10:30 docket when we get back from that recess, depending on how long the 9 o'clock docket lasts. All right, so both sides ready?
Appellant's ready, Your Honor. Appellee's ready, Your
Honor. All right. Megan, you want to call the case?
May it please the court, Mr. James Mosser arguing for appellant, Mr. Mark Teague arguing for appellee.
All right, thank you. Was the traffic too awful?
It was raining. I can tell you nothing different than it was raining. It's like if you were in New York and it was icy. But yeah, that's why I live in Dallas or Fort Worth or Texas, because it's rarely icy and I stay home in those days. May it please the court. My name is James Mosser, and I do represent Deborah Frazier, the appellant. With me is my associate, Ms. Alexis Katz, who participated in the preparation of this brief and aided me significantly. And I apologize to the court for being tardy this morning. Justice Gardner, Justice Dofino.
Like, don't you know?
I'll get it right. Dofino. I practiced on the way over.
Okay.
Justice Walker. This is a simple rear-end collision case. We tried it to a jury. And the jury did something unusual. And it isn't often done. But we first objected on the jury charge in this case for the submission of sudden emergency instruction to the jury in the charge. This is a negligence case. This is where Mr. Roden, driving a dually pickup truck with a horse trailer in tow, crashed into the rear end of Mrs. Frazier. They left the roadway. They called the police. They submitted to an accident report to the police department. And in fact, it's in the record that Mr. Roden admitted to the police he was partially at fault for crashing into the rear end of Mrs. Frazier. So, a rear-end collision in Texas is clearly a negligence issue. However, at trial, Mr. Roden claims there was no negligence on his part. It was an absolute emergency. But during the discussion with and the testimony of Mr. Roden, well, what did you do when you saw Mrs. Frazier? Well, first I put on my brakes. And then the next thing is, I didn't want to jackknife my trailer, so I veered off to the right to pull over to the side of the road and then crashed into her. That is the part that we can't countenance, because there's no evidence in the record that says he had an emergency. The evidence in the record is that they were both all driving down the road. There's a conflict between the two testimonies between whether Mrs. Frazier was in the lane that he was traveling in or if she came into his lane. At 25 miles an hour and a 25-foot distance, Mr. Roden claims that now it was a sudden emergency on 35 in the afternoon going north out of Dallas towards Denton, that somebody would change lanes. Clearly, that is not the testimony of a sudden emergency. Clearly, a rear-end collision isn't a sudden emergency. And clearly, he had time, and he testified to the fact, to debate with himself, should I veer off and try to avoid jackknifing my tow, which was a horse trailer, behind my duly equipped truck. We objected to that, asked the court not to submit that to the jury, and we believe that based on the evidence alone, that there is no evidence of sudden emergency. There's ample evidence of deliberation by Mr. Roden.
But under your argument then, counsel, any time, you know, there's 1 second before an event, there would be no sudden emergency. I mean, you're narrowing the time frame down. I mean, all that could happen in 1 second.
If
it's not like 5 minutes where he thinks, oh, I'll steer off to the, I mean,
But there's no question about that. But I think that every time you're driving down a highway, if you're driving down 820 coming into Fort Worth on a day like this, actually you're thinking about that ahead of time. But what I would suggest to the court is that he did deliberate it with himself. Internally, he said, shall I just apply brakes? Shall I make the turn and try to avoid the accident? That's a deliberation. Sudden emergency in every case that I've been able to review simply said, as an example, somebody sitting at the stop sign, someone comes roaring across six lanes of traffic, crashes into another party, and that party is pushed into the person sitting at the stop sign. Is it the person's fault that got crashed into that then was pushed into the stop sign? No, that's a sudden emergency. There was no option. There was no opportunity for this deliberation. And I think that's the distinction here. Plus, there's no evidence that it was a sudden emergency. Now, he also claims this wasn't a negligence case. He claims he wasn't negligent. Well, if he claims that in his own testimony, then we can't supply a sudden emergency instruction. Sudden emergency instruction is only in those cases where there is negligence involved, and that's the law in Texas. He claims there wasn't any negligence on his part. So it avoids the whole issue, and we did object to it, and we asked the court to send us back on that issue alone.
But the test isn't what he claims, right? It's what the evidence was. What evidence was introduced at trial. So if evidence was introduced at trial of his negligence from anybody, by anybody, even by your client, the plaintiff, then there could be evidence supporting sudden emergency.
If there is, in our claim from the get-go, day one when we submitted a charge, there was no evidence that supports sudden emergency. There was no emergency that was instantaneous and without deliberation. He admits that he deliberated. He admits that he was at fault at the accident scene.
Her version was that she did not change lanes.
That's correct. There's a conflict between the two. She says that she was steady in the traffic flow and did not change lanes. He says that's not true. He didn't say that, though, at the accident scene. He said all of those things at trial. So we have that conflict, but we have the conflict that Justice Walker brought up. Was this a sudden emergency? And I would submit there is no evidence of a sudden emergency. There's nothing sudden in the emergency category when people are driving at 20, 25 miles an hour, which is what the testimony is, on a multi-lane highway, and you change lanes. Everybody does it. It's hardly a sudden emergency anymore. It might be a sudden emergency if a truck came lurching out of the side road through the gully that separates the highway from the service road, and he had no right to be there to begin with. That might be a sudden emergency, but we don't have that in this, and there's no testimony that supports that sudden emergency. Now, I will tell the court that I am when I read the brief from my opposing counsel, I was shocked to find that this court, in fact, tells me that I'm supposed to tell the trial judge before the jury is discharged that there's a conflict in the charge and the answers. And on page 207, which is tab 3 of my opening brief, the definitions are there, and it's page 3 of the charge from the court. There's the negligence definition, ordinary care, an emergency, approximate cause. The last definition is the occurrence in question refers to the collision of April 15, 2005, made the basis of the suit. It's undisputed that there were only two parties in this automobile accident. There is Mr. Roden, who crashed into Mrs. Frazier. Period. There's no other question about any other party being involved. Question 1, which is page 208 of the record, page 4 of tab 3 of my opening brief, asks the question, did the negligence, if any, of the persons named below approximately cause the occurrence in question? The jury answered no to both of those. The next question, question 2, there was no answer because they were told if you answered yes to question 1, for more than one of the named those named below, then answer the following question. So they didn't answer yes, so they said they didn't answer it at all. Question three. It says, what sum of money, if paid in cash, could fairly and reasonably compensate Deborah Frazier for her injuries, if any, that resulted from the occurrence in question? They answer, and this is on page 210 of the record, page 6 of tab 3 of my opening brief, medical care expenses incurred in the past, $416. Now, if we follow the teachings of all of the courts of appeals and the Texas Supreme Court, we simply should, as I understand it, go back and say, on a conflict, a fatal conflict, if I forget the last one and I answer question one and read it the way the jury did, no, there is no liability in either party. That is one set of answers that sets us over to the left side and says, okay, then Mr. Roden is off the hook. He isn't negligent. But then neither is, because there was a comparative negligence issue, neither was Ms. Frazier. So neither one of them are negligent. We can't resolve that facing question number three because they say that she should be awarded $416.
But how is there really a conflict since question number three wasn't a conditional submission?
It's not required to be conditional. And in fact, it's a conflict because you can't award according to the first question, setting all by itself, the only way you get there is no negligence.
Right, but can't there be injuries from an accident even though there is no negligence?
Oh, of course. There absolutely can.
So then how is there a conflict?
Because the only way that the jury could award damages is they must have decided Roden was at fault, and so they awarded damages. You can't have damage awards.
But fault is not involved in question number three.
No, fault is just what were medical bills.
What sum of money, if any, would fairly and reasonably compensate her for injuries resulting from the collision, from the occurrence, which, as you pointed out, was defined as a collision, which could have occurred without the negligence of either party, but doesn't ask about the party's fault.
Well, it doesn't have to, because when the jury is sitting there saying, well, she was hurt, there is nobody else here, so she should be awarded, Deborah Frazier, for her injuries, $416. It implies that you have found negligence on the part of Mr. Roden because he's the only one. The court's not going to give her the $416. He's the only one that she can collect $416 from. So it absolutely implies that if you look at it all by itself, forgetting the other questions, if it were the only question, what a sum of money, if paid now in cash, should she get $416? Well, there's nobody else to get it from except Mr. Roden.
There might be a conflict in the judgment if the trial court made this award based on a finding that neither party was at fault. That might be a conflict in the judgment, but I'm not following how it's a conflict in the verdict for the jury to say she had damages, she had injuries from an accident that wasn't the fault of anyone.
But it doesn't say that. She had damages from the accident. There are only two parties in the accident. She didn't cause her own damages. And on one side, they say no fault. On the other side, they say award damages. The damages can only be awarded by one person.
But they're not saying award damages. They're just saying she had damages. The award would be in a judgment.
Well, actually, the judgment has to conform to the jury question, and it does not. That's the reason we say it's fatal conflict, because the judgment doesn't even comport with the jury findings. We got two separate questions. One has to do damage. You can't have damages in a negligence case unless somebody finds negligence. So, and that's the part about the emergency instruction, is it waters down the negligence duties and responsibilities. And I would submit to the court that we didn't waive anything under any theory. If you look at Little Rock Furniture, it's clear that you can't waive this. It's a fundamental error to have a conflict where there's a fatal conflict. Now, the court could decide that there is no conflict with the two. I would respectfully disagree with that concept, because you can't have no negligence and then somebody awards damages. It's a conflict that cannot be reconciled. And if you take them separately, say only one of those were submitted and they awarded damages, you have to come up with the answer that somebody was negligent. If you only submit question one and find no negligence, there cannot be any damage awarded. It's a fatal conflict, and it's inconsistent. In the Supreme Court of Texas, Little Rock Furniture has never been overturned, and it's never been overruled. And when I read the opening brief from opposing counsel, I recognized that this court had decided its waiver if you don't call the attention to the court. I tracked back every case, all the way back to the first case that was involved, and I did all of that history simply to find out why we got the waiver and the Supreme Court didn't agree at any level. And the real reason is it looks like we just carried forward the old rules where if you didn't put it in your motion for a new trial, you waived because you couldn't bring it up on appeal because you didn't attach it as error to the trial court. We did that. We put it in the motion for a new trial. And this court should reverse this ruling and judgment and give us our new trial in the trial court. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Your Honor, my name is Mark Teague. I represent the appellee in this case, Mr. Roden. And let me just from the get-go say that this is a classic case of sudden emergency. The facts rendered by Mr. Moser are a little bit different, I think, and I'm sure you have our briefs to review what was testified to. But my client testified clearly that he was in his lane of traffic, and the plaintiff suddenly, unexpectedly, without using her turn signal, moved directly in front of him. He makes a big deal about the whole deliberation thing. I would submit, Your Honor, that it was more of a reaction, and that's what he did. He didn't really have time to deliberate and think about whether it was going to jackknife. I think he thought about that afterwards when he assessed the situation. But what he did in that situation was confronted with an emergency situation. He acted, was required to act immediately, as would a reasonable, prudent driver in his same situation. He immediately turned to the right, and the evidence will clearly support that his left front bumper struck her right front bumper. He tried to avoid the accident, and therefore, I think that the trial court's inclusion of the emergency instruction was proper. Secondly, the inclusion of the instruction did not cause the rendition of an improper judgment and was therefore harmless. There's nothing that the plaintiff has brought up to show that even if this was an improper instruction, that the jury still could not find, with the evidence in front of them, that Mr. Roden acted as a ordinary prudent driver in the same similar circumstance. He tried to avoid it. She came into his lane, and he responded like a normal person would. So I think it's clear that even if this emergency instruction was errored, did it cause harm? And I would say no, it did not. Additionally, judges, your honors, I'm sorry, he did waive the whether or not the contradictory verdict, because he did not bring it up before the jury was discharged. I think that's a hard and fast rule. Additionally, I think the jury's rendition of, or why they answered that question, number one, it was not conditioned. They had to answer it. They came to that conclusion, and all they were doing, we can presume from their decision, they certainly found no negligence on any party, and then they merely confirmed what they had proven up in trial was that she had some medical bills in the past. And so I don't think there's any conflict in the jury's no negligence finding and then the finding of a award of damages. In conclusion, Your Honor, I think it's clear that the jury could easily, with the evidence presented before them, determine that Mr. Roden was not negligent and or that he faced a sudden emergency situation and did what an ordinary reasonable person would do in that situation, and that their verdict should be affirmed by this court.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a rebuttal?
We're happy to waive rebuttal, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate your argument. Your case is submitted, and you're released to go about your business, or you're welcome to stay and listen to the next argument if you prefer. We thank you very much for being here, particularly on such a nasty day to drive. You all had to come from a distance, so
thank you,
we appreciate you being here.